This episode of the Go Heads podcast is brought to you by SOS Culture. All products, including graphic tees, hoodies, and flags, are now 20% off. Click the link at the top of the description or head over to sosculturecompany.com. That's sosculturecompany.com. Follow their socials at SOS Culture Co. to stay up to date with their latest drops and designs. Use promo code GHP at checkout to get 10% off your order. That's code GHP. Now to the Go Heads podcast. How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to the Goat Heads podcast. This is episode 25. I am Tony with my co-host Zach. How you doing, Zach?
Been better.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. We had our little bye week last week for the All-Star break. Zach and I are All-Stars ourselves, so thought we should get a week off. So we're back now. We're going to record yesterday, but it was Valentine's Day, so we're here today. So take it or leave it.
I'll take it. I think we got enough to talk about today. Not a lot of good things to talk about today. But
Well, do you want to start with the good? There's something good that happened here. We don't want to be all mopey for the episode. Dylan Cousins is here to stay. Dylan signs a 7 year, 7.1 million contract extension, so just under Tage. What were your initial thoughts on that? You've had a little bit of time to kind of sit on it. It's been a little bit.
Well, my initial thought is great. You have your first two centers under contract for a little bit above $14 million a year. Compare that to Toronto with Tavares and Matthews, and it's a pretty good cap management from Kevin, and I'm interested to see how he brings Dahlin in on a long-term deal. I don't know if it's going to be around the same price. If it is, that guy's got some magic in the...
I don't think that's happening. I think he even mentioned he's going to have to dig deeper in his pockets for Dahlin and even a guy like Power. But yeah, Cousins, 7 years. Initial reaction was, how does that number not start with an 8? I thought Cousins was at least getting $8 million. But I'm surprised there's like an internal cap, I guess you can say, for forwards. I guess Tage set the bar, making slightly more, barely. But yeah, this is really good cap management, as you said. There's going to be a day when the Sabres are going to try taking a turn for the better, and you're going to need to attract guys, and that involves paying them. So yeah, good for Kevin, good for Dylan, good for the Sabres.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm not. It's hard for me to be happy right now. In general, about the Sabres, definitely. I don't want to give any credit to anybody.
Yeah, you're feeling that type of way.
You know what? The first 7-2 loss, I wasn't too upset. But the 5-2 right after staying up all day, all afternoon, all evening, to watch the Sabres game at 10:30, for them to lose 5-2, it sucks, and it's hard for me to take it right now, and hopefully this episode doesn't tank, but I just don't have that gung ho. Whimsy today that I normally have.
Yeah, that's respectable. Yeah, I guess we can just go to the Kings game. Like you said, 10:30 start. So it was a hard watch regardless. And then Sabres were down 5-0 at one point, I believe. So yeah, that game sucked. There's a deserve to win-o-meter I saw. The Sabres had like a 68 or something around that percent chance of, or should have won. So that's crazy they lost by.
How many points do you deserve to win? 0. You get 0 points. It doesn't matter if you deserve to win. We lost.
Yeah. This doesn't help their games in hand that they have, nor anything with their playoff race. And yeah, a couple days ago, it was a noon game, Calgary. We got our asses handed to us. It was a very tough watch. First period was kind of great.
Tage Thompson had a classic power play goal.
Yeah.
Mittelstadt had a very pretty goal. And then they let Calgary score 7 unanswered at home. First day back from All-Star break. An All-Star break where we saw a lot of the roster go on a vacation together, which I thought I think is a nice thing to see. I really do. I thought that was awesome. But I kind of need all those guys back from vacation. I don't know where their minds are at, but there's no Bahama Mamas in the Key Bank Center.
Yeah, there was a stat, like teams coming off of like All-Star break or breaks longer than like 9 days are like 10 and 35. So that game, I kind of was expecting the worst. So
the noon game, all our matinees are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to 2, and one of them was a 2-0 loss to the LA Kings. Cal Peterson was in that, and they were playing crazy trap defense, and we couldn't do anything. I saw the Florida Panthers game this year, and they lost. I forget the score, but they lost. So the matinees just don't sit well with this team. But 7 unanswered?
Yeah.
Did you watch that game?
Yeah, 3 shots in the first period was kind of a sign, although they scored 2. It was kind of like a little warning of like, hey, there's a long game ahead. You still got 2 more periods. So I kind of was just sitting back expecting the worst, and it was worse than I expected the worst to be. So, yeah, 7 straight. Homer, kid, what's that? Gilbert, the defenseman from Buffalo, gets a goal and assist. I think he's a rookie. I think it was a 2nd career goal, so good for him. Terrible goal, by the way, but good for him.
That second period went so quick. Mm-hmm. Like we were watching, and it was like, oh, it's tied. Oh, we're losing. Oh, we're down 2. It just were so many quick slaps to the face that it kind of felt unreal. It felt like a dream. A bad dream. Well,
I didn't expect the Sabres to hold. I didn't want to give them the expectation coming off that break, knowing that it's done nothing but bad for teams, especially Buffalo since forever. But yeah, very, very hard game to watch and hard pill to swallow there. And then right before All-Star break, we faced Carolina, and that was just another blowout. So 5-1 at home. But I'm not going to hold that against them either. Carolina is my cup favorite personally. I think this is their year, and they're kind of just a powerhouse team. So
you've said that the last 2 years.
Yes, I will pick Carolina every year till they win. So
eventually you'll be right. Or you'll always just be wrong.
Yeah. Only one team can win. There's a lot of teams that could win. Do you want to talk about the All-Star game? Did you watch it? Because I didn't. I didn't watch.
Yeah, I watched some of it. I watched the final. I was at a restaurant, and there just happened to be a flat-screen TV across from me. So I saw Darlene win his $900,000 or whatever. Not $900,000. What's 1 million divided by 11?
Something
like 90,
around
that. I didn't even know
they were getting money. I didn't know that was like an incentive for winning, but
yeah, they get $1 million between the team. And I don't know if that goes to coaches and staff, but
and then some income tax.
I really don't like the All-Star game. Maybe I'm just in that mood where I don't like anything, but no, I don't like the NHL. I don't like really any professional sports All-Star games.
I think the NBA does it okay. And then MLB is a home run derby, obviously. But it's like when you think of the NHL All-Star game, what are you like looking forward to? Like there's not a dunk contest. There's not a home run derby. There's just nothing like – I mean, hardest shot is like the only thing I can compare it to. And it's just like, eh. which Dahlin came in second, and that was surprising. If Tage
is a really hard shot,
yeah. If Tage won, that was I think we would have won that one. But that's
Elias Pettersson won, didn't he? That's not who you'd expect to win it after watching years of Zdeno Chara running that event.
Yeah.
The NHL really doesn't have a home run derby. Like, baseball has a home run derby, and it's fun to watch because the best part of baseball is home runs.
Yeah.
What's the NHL's home run derby?
See, I didn't watch it, but I'd assume, like, a shootout. But did they do that, and, like, did nobody try? The shootout
this year was stupid.
Yeah, no one.
Mitch Marner was in, like, a suit.
In I saw a clip of that. They tried being Miami Vice. Yeah.
It was horrible. I mean, two years ago or the year before this one was when Trevor Zegras did the blindfolded dodgeball tribute where he spun around with the puck on his stick and scored. And that was awesome. Goalies didn't try. Skaters didn't really try. It's hard to watch. It feels like everyone involved is forced. The viewers are forced. The crowd there. It's just not fun. They need to do something better.
I don't know what they could, like, tell these players or, like, what, like, benefits they could even get to, like, want to put an effort. Like, they're all probably hungover. They're partying in Florida. Like,
nobody wants to watch hockey anymore. Viewership for hockey is plummeting. Mm-hmm. Plummeting. What was that?
Isn't that a shame? I think what was carrying hockey kind of before was
hits and fighting.
Yeah, because that was kind of just the most unique thing about hockey. You can't do that in any other sport, or there's going to be like arrests made. Like, so yeah. So the fact that that doesn't happen even close to is what it used to, and I feel like that brought a lot of the thrill. And don't get me wrong, I love hockey. I think I see hockey differently than the average man. I love seeing like plays happen, and like I notice the little things, and I'm sure you do too. And that's why I'm a fan. I can sit and watch like many games at a time. But like someone who's just not a hockey fan and they turn that on, they're like, what is this? Especially if they turn on the Blue Jackets versus name other team here. Like, it's, I don't know.
Hockey is a very interesting, unique sport, in my opinion. It's the only sport where you have to learn a whole new way to travel. Every other sport, you're just running on your feet, which anyone can do. Not everyone can skate. People walk on ice and they can't even stand up. So what they're doing out there is incredible. And it's not marketed right. It's not we're not given a good product. And I think
this falls in one person's hands.
Yeah, I was just getting to that. Why do we have the same commissioner for this long with ratings going down, viewerships going down? Nobody watches the Stanley Cup.
How would they get him out of his position? How do you physically get Gary Bettman out of owning the NHL? Like, I really don't know how the business structure
is. There would have to be an a group of owners who vote them out. I think that's how they do it. It's probably so corrupted how it works because it's all rich white guys who have an obscene amount of money, and they probably make deals with Bettman, and there's insider deals, I assume, and we want to keep this guy because he does this for us. And it's just the system is broken, it feels like. And we're the ones who have to deal with that because hockey's losing its deal with Adidas. They no longer have Adidas re-signing them. We're witnessing a decline in the NHL.
To piggyback off that, if they go any other brand besides Nike, it's a downgrade. Just from a perspective and like standpoint. Like, you look at Adidas, that's a top 3-5 sportwear company. What else is there? Nike. But I feel like they might even be top 2 because anything else I can think of is just a downgrade, in my opinion. So
go back to Reebok, go to CCM.
Like, that's not globally known
Right. And I don't think Nike wants to touch the NHL. I think if Mr. Nike's at his desk and somebody brings him a proposal for NHL jerseys and merchandise, he says no.
Depends. I don't know. There's a lot that goes into it, obviously. But didn't they make the, was it the Olympic jerseys or like something for countries?
Yeah, the Olympic jerseys.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like they have no clue what's going on. They have some sort of experience. I don't know. I don't know. We need to get rid of Gary Bettman, and there's nothing Zach and I can do about that. So
yet, until we buy a team.
Yeah.
It's just sad to see a sport you love and idolize be treated this way. And showed this way. There's ways to grow the game, and I don't think Gary Bettman's not trying to grow the game. I don't think he's doing this on purpose, but the things he's doing aren't working. The way he handles problems.
He is doing something big. I don't know if you saw it. There will be Disney Channel games, like how Nickelodeon does football. Yeah, I don't know. There's like some new show. I've never heard of it. It's doing like the – is it Rangers Capitals game sometime this season? So
on the Disney Channel,
something. Yeah, I believe so. So there's that. I mean, there's a step in the right direction, I guess you could say.
You're just copying the NFL,
huh?
You're just copying
it. I think Disney's bigger than Nickelodeon. So I mean, regardless, that's going to help your numbers, copying or not. I don't know. There's so much that needs to change in this league as a whole, and it goes from the All-Stars to jerseys to ownership to contracts. Like, I don't know. We'll see. The thing with the cap space being like projected to go up like 10 million was based on this TV deal, which, and ratings are plummeting. So I don't know. Can't win them all.
At some point, there needs to be – I mean, they've done the whole national thing with TNT and trying to get more people to watch these games, but they're not.
I enjoy TNT personally. TNT, I don't know if that's
the way. But people aren't watching, you know what I mean? People, mm-hmm. With football being over, maybe viewership will go up. It probably will, because people want to watch sports of some kind, and I don't think soccer's going to –
Catch up.
It will eventually. I really believe that. But for now, the NHL is still one of the four major professional sports in America and Canada. Obviously, right. Canada a lot more.
Yeah. Looking at the playoff standings really quickly. It's not looking terrible. It's not looking good either, though. Something that I don't see a lot of people talking about, Detroit and Ottawa are right in our tail. Yep. We're right with them. Detroit, same amount of games played, same amount of points. We have two more wins than they do. They have four more overtime losses. So that's how it evens up there. Ottawa has one more game played with one less point, same amount of wins, just one less overtime loss. So, yeah, they're here. Philadelphia is not too far either, with 54 points and three more games played. So that's behind us. And in front of us, Florida, who I believe lost in regulation yesterday with five games in hand over the Sabres and only 4 points. And then the Islanders with also five more games in hand with five more points than the Sabres. And that's not even to get into a wild card position. Pittsburgh and Washington are still leading that race. Pittsburgh, 53 games played, so one more than the Sabres, but they have, how many is that, seven more points. Wow, the gap is expanding with Pittsburgh. Washington's at 62 points, but they have four more games played, so I guess that's the team to catch right now.
Yeah, and there's more teams than just us. It's not like we're the only team in this dogfight for the last wild card spot. It's going to be these last 30 games are our playoffs. every game is a must win. And maybe these two beatings we've taken these last two games have woken up the team. Maybe they didn't. I read today that they changed the lines again at practice on Tuesday. I didn't see the lines, what they were.
I'll pull them up real quick.
Because whatever we had against the Kings didn't work.
I don't even think it lasted two periods, whatever they put out there.
See, Dine will change the lines, and then when we're losing, he'll just start trying anything at the end of the game, which I guess is fine, but you change the lines for a reason.
Yeah.
So at least ride it out the game. I don't know. It's upsetting.
The new lines I'm about to – I'll tell you them real quick. I actually do like these a lot, actually. Skinner, Thompson, Tuck, back as line one. Paterka, Cousins, Olsson. I like that. I don't like Paterka and Quinn together as much as I did because they're both just so young. There's so much to learn, and there's a lot of mistakes being made between both of them. And when they're together on the same line, it's not.
It's great when they're hot and they're playing good hockey, but.
Yeah, third line goes Mittelstadt, Krebs, Quinn. I'm reading left to right. Krebs gets the upgrade or the promotion. You were
frozen for the third line, so you might want to.
Sorry, I'll repeat that. Mittelstadt, Krebs, and Quinn for the third line. Krebs gets his promotion. Good for him. Well-deserved. Fourth line, Gergensen's, Yost, Okposo, and Asplund's the extra for forwards. Defense is where it gets a little interesting as well. Dahlin and Joki Haru, who don't have great numbers in the past, but we'll see what happens. I like this one a lot. Samuelson and Power is your second pair. I really like that. Because I think Dahlin has the capability to carry Joki Haru. And Power can definitely get some help from Samuelson's defensive game. And then third pair, Clegg and Lyubushkin. Yeah, you know what you're getting there. And then extras, Bryson. I don't know who will be in net. Probably Comrie, if I had to take a guess. He hasn't played in a little bit. So,
you think he plays tonight?
I'm going to say yeah. Either him or Luukkonen. I don't think Anderson will play again after L.A., and Luukkonen's game against Calgary. So I think Comrie gets a shot tonight. I don't know how accurate that is, but I just
– It's a must-win game. Well, as of recording, we're playing the Ducks tonight. It's a must-win game. I mean, our listeners will know the results when they're listening to this. And hopefully it's a win. I don't care if we win in overtime. I don't care if it's 2-1 in a shootout and we just beat a bottom-feeding team. But you need 2 points coming out of Anaheim.
Yeah.
It cannot be overstated.
And then
30 games is new territory for Sabres fans over the last 10 years. Haven't really been in a playoff hunt this late. And this is a big one to be in. So.
Yeah, I believe the Sabres have the second hardest schedule in the NHL for the remainder of the year. So. A good chunk of teams they're facing are all playoff teams. So, yeah, face the Ducks tonight and then San Jose on Saturday at 10:30 again. So another late night watch. And then I think that's it for Sabres After Dark this year.
Thank God.
This is the last one, finishing up the road trip. Yeah, so these next two games are must wins. They're bottom feeding teams, like you said. You got to beat bad teams. And you got to collect these points because it's only going to get harder from there because next week we're back home against Toronto on Tuesday. So, yeah. And then after that's the Lightning and Panthers and Capitals. That's a stretch right there. We need
every game.
You need every point you can get. You need to win these easy games and play your heart out in these hard games and at least earn
a Washington in regulation, obviously. We beat them in overtime last time. We cannot give Washington a point. You don't want to give them anything. Toronto, you want to beat at home. They're a rival. They're right across the pond, up north a bit.
And I like kicking their ass, too. It feels good.
It's always good. And I think we've only played them once this year, and it was a loss.
Yeah. I think we got it handed to us that game. I think it was like 5-1 or something like that. But a lot of divisional games coming up. So
a lot of big – Florida, you need to win. Florida's ahead of us now with games in hand. Need to beat Florida. This is it. Like, this is
– the rest of February really determines what Kevin's doing this trade deadline. And I think we should kind of talk about that too. That's coming up.
Sabres don't seem to be in on any big names. They don't seem to be in on Timo Meier. I saw the Devils and Toronto and
Vegas.
Vegas? Yeah, Vegas isn't on anybody.
Yeah.
They're never out. I don't know how they do it.
They're going to have to pay a premium too. They're divisional rivals. I don't think there's a single chance he goes to Vegas. They're getting a better package elsewhere. So, yeah. But I don't know, man. I've been thinking about it a lot. We haven't talked in about 2 weeks, so I don't think the Sabres should do anything.
This is a big change.
I know. I've had a lot of thinking to do. Looking at the team, there's clear help that's needed. There's clear holes. Let's say we fill those holes. How far are you making in the playoff race, and how much are you sacrificing of your future? And Kevin's thinking long term, and the more I think about like his plan, the more I think he's right. Because this it's going to be this offseason that's going to be the holy shit moment. Like the, oh my God, we did that. We did all these things. Like, he's going to go into next season as a brand new, not brand new, but the core is going to be identified. The outliers are going to be out of here, as in Joki Haru. I think Mittelstadt's going to be gone. I think even guy like Olofsson might not have a spot. But I think this trade deadline, all you do, get a bottom pairing defenseman. Maybe if you can, a guy that goes with power. Forwards, you're overflowing with forwards. Goalies, looks like why make the upgrade at goalie when that can be an offseason move?
That'll be I think that'll be homegrown.
Yeah.
That put a smile on my face.
Because yeah.
Let's there's Devin Levi won MVP at the Beanpot tournament.
Did you watch the game?
No, I wish.
I had it streaming. It was a good game. Like, overall, just great hockey game.
That shootout glove save where he just chucks it behind him.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, my God. It's going to be
He is that whole team.
Are known for goalies. They're known for legendary goalies. Dominik Hasek. Ryan Miller, and there's been a long drought. There's been a long drought since Miller. We've had guys in and out. We've had Leonard. Let's name obscure goalies who played in net. Nilsson?
Anders Nilsson. That's what I was just thinking. Nilsson?
Chad
Johnson. Matt Hackett. Do you remember Matt Hackett?
I think so.
Jonas Johansson. Enroff. I love Enroff.
We just had bad goalies. We've had a lot of, and Robin Leonard is not a bad goalie. We should start with that.
He's bankrupt.
Neither is Linus Allmark. We've had legendary goalies on the team. They just weren't legendary in a Sabres uniform. But oh my God, if Devin Levi, if we develop him right, if Kevin puts him in his little petri dish and puts enough development into him and grows him in Rochester, and we see him play next year a few games and flashes.
I don't know how accurate this is. I saw a tweet. I'm kind of just saying what I can remember. I believe he's a computer science major, Devin Levi. And that's a hard major. And I saw something. It was like when he was injured, he did some VR. I don't know if he helped create it or did something for it, but he's playing a VR game to train.
It was eye tracking.
Something like that, yeah. Like, that's just crazy. Like, you see, there's a whole article about his work ethic, and you've seen it in his interviews of how great of a person he is. Like, besides the fact that he's an amazing goaltender carrying an entire college team, he's the vibes guy. He fits perfectly in this mold. Like, he is going to be, I believe, the final piece to this puzzle.
It'll be like Remember when Thanos gets the last stone? It'll feel like that to see him in net, because you're gonna have Dahlin and Owen Power in front of him. Two first overall picks, two studs, two defensive prodigies who can score and skate and move. You have Samuelson locked in, who's gonna lock it down in front of him. You have your two centers intact for the next 7 years. Devin Levi is the cherry on top, and I'm willing to wait for him before we. I don't want to.
It's gonna be a little bit of time. I didn't want to burst your bubble, but I think like Kevin Adams
roles. I don't want to sign a goalie long term. That's not in my offseason plan if I'm Kevin, and I don't think that is in his.
Hear me out. Let's say the. Demko is available, but let's say somehow he doesn't make or get traded this offseason or this trade deadline. In the offseason, I would consider it if you move Comrie and pieces. So then you have Comrie and you have Lukanen and Demko for a year. You can trade Lukanen as a piece. He's still a young goalie with potential somewhere. And then you have Levi as the backup to Demko. And I think you'll have one more year with Demko's contract where they could flip, be 50-50. Then Demko leaves in free agency. Levi's the guy. I think – I don't know how much trust I have in Demko. He has good career stats overall, but this year's been tough. But look at his team. Vancouver's a fucking shit show.
So, yeah, they made make Buffalo look good. I'm looking up UFA goaltenders for next year because I'm perfectly okay with signing – a reliable
3 to 4 year guy who's been there, done that, can stop a puck better than average. That's all we've been looking for.
Like Buddy Anderson is a free agent.
No.
Why not?
Who else is on there? Let's keep reading.
I'll read Jonathan Quick.
No.
Varlamov. A lot of them have been around. Nedeljkovic, Mackenzie Blackwood, but I feel like he will definitely be re-signing. Anton Khudobin, Tristan Jarry.
Jarry is intriguing. Jarry, 3-year deal?
Korpisalo.
No.
yeah, I don't know. There's definitely guys out there who can be serviceable. I just want a serviceable goalie. That's all you really need.
I think Jarry... Intrigued. I forgot he's going to be a free agent this year. I don't know if Pittsburgh can re-sign him with who they're paying now. And they have Kiese DeSmith as well. So maybe Jarry could be a guy that, throw a couple million at him. 3-year, 4-year deal. Wait for Levi. Get rid of either trade Comrie or you can even trade Lukanen
Do you think Levi plays in Rochester at all this year, depending on how far they go in the playoffs?
100%.
And could you see him playing in the NHL next year, like one or two games at the end of the season? Because here's my thing.
I even wonder if he'll maybe get a game this year, but I don't think so with having three goaltenders on the roster. If an injury were to happen, I think I could see a call up for 1 to 2 games. I don't know how the contract works and all that stuff, but next year, definitely will get some time. I think he'll be the number one goalie in Rochester. And if something were to happen here, I can see Kevin Adams even bringing up the backup from Rochester.
He might light the AHL on fire.
Yeah. It's a new test for him. It's a new test. We don't know. He's only played college. Like, AHL is a very different league. So only time will tell. He could even do some crazy shit in training camp that you can't help but say – you can't send him down, which I don't think.
Development camp, we saw him firsthand. See the way he moves in net. He does
save on Quinn too, who's probably one of the best shootout guys we have in the entire organization. Like, yeah,
I don't know. A shutout in the shootout against Harvard to win it in the. I'm not worried about goalie right now. I know people want to have a goalie. Just be a little patient.
I got to find Devin Levi's teammate's name. I believe he had 2 goals, and he had the coolest name I've ever seen in my entire life.
But you couldn't even remember it.
sadly. It's like Wolfgang something, or no.
Fuck. Wolfgang Puck.
Isn't that like a chef or something?
I think it's a composer.
Or that, yeah.
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. That's who I was thinking of.
Gunnar Wolf Fontaine.
That's a cool name.
That is such a hockey name.
Gunnar Wolf Fontaine. Where does the first name end and where does the last name begin?
Gunnar Wolf Fontaine. Fontaine's a cool hockey last name. Gunnar Wolf.
You weren't a 6th-round pick on that guy just for fun.
I don't know. He's a junior. We have enough
prospects, don't we?
Maybe we'll get this guy on the pod. I'll shoot him a DM.
Just to draft him. All we're going to do is ask him about his name and Devin Levi. Not even talk about his hockey career at all.
Oh, he isn't. He already was drafted. That's a shame.
Who has him?
Nashville Predators, 7th-round pick in 2020. 7th-rounder. Damn. All right, never mind. Not inviting him to the pod.
Fuck the Predators. Fuck Wolfgang. Wolf.
Gunnar Wolf Fontaine.
Gunnar Wolf Fontaine.
I believe he had 2 goals. That put him to the overtime, so that was cool. It was a great game. Overall, if there's highlights out there and you haven't seen the game, go watch it. Levi, probably, I think, had 30-some saves.
Let's get back on track here because I asked about Levi playing next year because, honestly, this year, are we expecting playoffs? Are we going to be mad if we don't make the playoffs?
I don't think mad's the correct term. I think just slightly disappointed. The expectations were never playoffs.
Right. It's going to be sad because, you want to make the playoffs. Everyone wants to make the playoffs. But realistically, we have moved up in the standings after being a bottom 5 team for the last decade, maybe bottom 10. You have your 2 centers locked in for the next 7 years. You have guys having career years all around the board at every position except goalie. So I don't think we have any right to be upset if we don't make the playoffs. However, next year, I think you need to be set.
You got to be fighting for a playoff spot, not a wild card. You're looking to be top 3 in the division. Like, you have to be fighting. Like, that's got to be like, you know, that's a big jump. So I think wild card is where they're going to aim. But I think you want
to
be.
You don't aim for wild card. You aim to be the best team.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to be the first overall team. That would be very cool. I don't see that happening. But next year, the expectation is playoffs now. You told us we judge that based on what you show us on the ice. And what they've shown us on the ice this year is they're a good young team. They can be streaky. They're near a playoff spot. They've moved up. So we have all the reason to believe that next year they should have those things figured out, be a year older.
I'm really curious how young – I feel like they might be younger next year. Because what if Okposo's gone? What if Gergensen's leaves?
I don't think Okposo will be gone.
I don't think so either, but it was hypothetical.
Right.
He calls it retirement. He's having a rough year as it is. He's looks slower and slower every day. Not a shot at him. It's pretty evident. But then you bring up maybe like a Kulik and a Rosin or like a Rusek from Rochester. Maybe 2 of those guys get a spot on this team. Your average age is lower.
16 and a half.
Yeah. I really hope the Sabres make a big acquisition for a guy who has term left maybe like 4 to 5 years and is like late 20s.
Has played in 1 playoff games. That's what I want. Someone who's been there who knows how to play in the playoffs. Because when we get to the playoffs, you can't be a deer in headlights and be like, oh, wow, this is different hockey, and then get swept because that won't be much fun to watch. I'll watch, but I won't enjoy it. So you want to bring in experience for these young guys.
Because you have –
remember when Granato said Cousins is leading by example and showing the young guys the ropes? Cousins is the young guy. He should be showed the ropes. Who's showing him the ropes?
That's why I'm glad. At least he's got Olofsson on his line now, which is, you know, I don't know. I feel like his two-way game
could be on this team next year up until deadline, because that'll be his last year under contract.
Who, Olsen?
I see him being a deadline flip next year.
He's just so streaky. Like, looking back to when I said sell high, like, now look at what's going on. I haven't noticed him in a couple games now. I don't know. I really don't remember.
He had two assists against the Kings.
Oh, he did have two assists last night. I'm sorry. Still, I don't care.
Two apples for the guy. Can't hate him.
I don't know. There's just so much more opportunity out there that I think this team can go for. I don't think it's a great fit. I think he'll fit great somewhere else. I just don't think it's here.
You could see him on a team like Dallas.
Sure. Anywhere. I don't really care.
All right.
Get a decent return. Flip it. Do whatever you got to do. Get you a guy. Him and something else for a defenseman. You'll never know. We'll see.
Yeah, but we'll sort of wrap it up. Not wrap it up, but bring this into a conclusion. We're in the last 30 games of the season, the final stretch of the regular season. We're approaching the trade deadline. Are we anticipating moves? No.
You want to go over the Jacob Chychrun drama at all? Have you heard about that?
Drama?
I don't know if it's drama, but he was held out of a game the other night. And speculation, there was someone with a lot of followers and a check mark, seemed kind of legit. So there's a trade being worked around him going to L.A., and it's surrounded by Brant Clark, who was eighth overall pick in 2020, something like that. Very good right-handed defenseman.
Say that's not a thing.
Huh?
Didn't L.A. say that's not true?
I think L.A. contacted Brant Clark and said that's not true. So, and then there was word coming out that they're trying to move a big piece back to Arizona. If I had to take a guess, it's Cal Peterson just because of his contract. And there's also something about Arizona or L.A. wanting Arizona to retain half of Jacob Chychrun, who makes 4-point-something million for like two more years.
That's if weird. You have –
doesn't that say something about the cap space problem in the NHL that you need to retain a $4 million player? Like, come on.
In the NHL is just bonkers. Contracts are going up. I might not even play in the NHL. There'll be a lockout in 2 years.
Yeah. So I don't think a trade will happen in – I don't know. It could happen either the next couple of days. It can go all the way to the end of February, March, when the deadline happens. But the teams involved in that are L.A., Boston. I think Toronto may have called around. I heard something about Columbus Blue Jackets. I don't know how that one's going to work out for them, but I don't think that will happen.
Why would they? I guess that would make sense. They're in the
They've been on them. They're trying to get better. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't see a big move for the Sabres. I don't even really see any roster. Maybe some bottom pairing roster moves. That would be nice to see someone brought in for defense this year to help for the last stretch of games, maybe be brought in again next year. A serviceable third pair defenseman. I don't want to watch Lyubushkin and Bryson play.
I can't watch Bryson anymore.
I'm glad he got the start over Bryson.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
But something about Joakim Haru is just – now he's getting top pair minutes with Dahlin. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'm just really kind of over it. But, yeah. Anything else you want to mention? Or are we wrapping it up?
I think we're wrapping it up. Overall tone of this episode was – wake up. Sabres need to take these two losses. Forget about them. Don't have them hang over your head, but don't forget the lesson you learned. I guess if I had to talk to the Sabres, if I had to talk directly to the Sabres.
We know they're listening too.
They probably are. I don't know if this is what they watch in their film.
We are their film.
Bryson's just back there snapping pencils. Fuck! They hate me!
Well, Jacob, be better. That's all I got to say.
Listen to two 20-year-olds who are not – can we say we're not that athletic?
I would not compare to them. Not even close to compare to them.
Yeah, we're not – we're you're listening to two guys who didn't quite make the NHL.
Quite. Maybe two-class heroes, but not NHL players.
I got a bar league game tonight, though, so I don't know if they're scouts. They're sometimes scouts.
Yeah.
Who knows? So watch out, Bryson. Keep your head up.
All right.
End this. This is
– Yeah, follow us on Twitter at GoHeadsPod. Subscribe on YouTube. Leave a comment, like, all that stuff. SOS Culture, code GHP for 10% off. Go check that out. Yeah, that should be it. Thanks for watching.
Thank you, guys.